I will probably come over and slap you. Is when people stinking eat with their mouth open and they just sit there and chomp. I'm like, oh, it gets under my skin so much. I cannot stand it. Oh, my soul.
That's hilarious.
It drives me nuts.
That's funny. Welcome back to Young America, everybody. I am Jacob Blakey, and today we are interviewing yours truly, Joe Siegbert.
That's right, people.
All the way from Possum Trot, Tennessee. I'm just kidding, Africa, really. But yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. It'll be good. Same questions for me, and then a couple extras that I thought you guys might find interesting.
Yeah. I don't know how this is going to go, but we'll find out.
Nobody does. It'll
be interesting for sure.
Yeah, it'll be fun. So, to start off with, what do you think people most misunderstand about you?
Honestly, I have no idea. I don't know. Maybe I just come across weird. I don't really know. I don't know. I feel like I'm overbearing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like very obnoxious, yeah. Or like
you can be for sure.
But yeah, I don't know. That might be one thing. I don't ask people, but I probably should, honestly.
It's like, what is wrong with me?
What do you think, Jacob? Because I have no idea.
I mean, my main thing is we're just different. And so you come across different. Your job is to punch people in the face, and my job is to smooth it over for them afterwards. You know, that's kind of how it feels.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
It's like, you know, you come across this is the way it is.
Direct.
It's only this way, and it must be this way. Or else.
Yeah.
I
mean, that's one thing that I've learned is just be very direct and just get to the point. Don't beat around the bush.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to tell me to do something or whatever it is, I don't want you to beat around the bush or take a rabbit trail down 12 trails. Yes. It's like, dude, just tell me how it is and we'll move on with life. Like big deal. You know, we'll sort it out one way or another.
Yeah.
So that's something that I guess it's different.
Right.
So I like people that are just like, boom, this is what it is. And,
You go from there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I mean, that's understandable. I'd rather get punched in the nose than stabbed in the back. That's what I figure.
Right. Exactly. And then, Yeah. Anyways.
Pretty much sums that up, does it?
Yeah, pretty much.
What's your favorite childhood memory?
Oof. Well, I remember when we were in Africa. I think it was every Thursday night or Friday night. It might have been a Friday night. But every Friday night, we would get done with school or whatever. And then at night, we would make homemade pizza. Oh, my soul. So good. Like literally from scratch, from the dough, you know, like everything's homemade. Yeah.
We do that too.
Yeah.
Just not in Africa. Then,
yeah. And then we'd have like, it was like this knockoff brand of Cheez-Its, I guess. And then another knockoff brand of, I don't even know. It was like some kind of chocolate balls or something. I don't know. But
like Lindor, or something.
No, it was more like a Whopper.
Interesting.
But a little different. I don't. They were amazing though. But I really remember that when we were kids, we used to do that. And then, cheese prices got ridiculously expensive, and so we quit doing that. But
bummer.
that was always something that, you know, as a kid, I always looked forward to. It's like, yeah, it's Friday, we get to sit down and watch a movie and eat pizza. Especially over in Africa, it's like pizza's like, like heaven.
Yeah, should come live in my house for a while. Fix that for you. Okay, so that was your childhood. Now we got to go to more depressing things. But what's your biggest failure, and what did you learn from that experience?
My biggest failure. Well, I mean, honestly, it feels like life is my biggest failure.
Easy, killer. Easy. Life is good.
No, it is. It really is good. But I don't know. There's just a lot of things in life. It's like, it just keeps beating you down. And it's like, oh my goodness, am I ever going to learn, or am I ever going to get smart enough to not do something stupid? But I don't know if there's really one specific example. I mean, I really don't know if there's anything like specifically. Right. There's just a lot of things that
could have been better.
Yeah. But yeah, I've definitely learned a lot of things from all the mistakes that I've made, and I'm very, very glad for that. Because I've definitely grown, or at least I think I have, a lot, and I think that's good.
If you could be remembered for one thing, what would it be?
Man, well, if I could be remembered for one thing, I would love to be remembered for a person that, that loved God and wanted to serve Him with the ability that God has given me. There's a quote that I remember, and it's from D.L. Moody, and he said, "The world has yet to see a man that is fully consecrated to God." And, you know, you just think about that quote, and it's like, what if there was a man like that? What if there was someone who just completely didn't care about himself? Mm-hmm. And he just simply relied on what God wanted him to do, and he just simply followed the Lord.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just like, that's what my aim is. That's right. What I want to be. I want to be a man that is fully consecrated to God and just live through faith and trust God. So I guess that's what I would want to be remembered for.
Yeah. It's the best thing. That's why I like hanging out with you, Joe. Because both want to do right, you know?
Yeah. Well, iron sharpeneth iron. So you're definitely encouragement to me. And sounds like I'm an encouragement to you, which is hard to believe. But
I know. It's always like, man, I feel that way too. It's like, how did I stick this whole foot inside this whole mouth? You know?
Yeah.
No. That's okay. We can stick our foot in our mouths together. At any rate.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's see. What's the biggest compliment you've ever gotten?
I remember this was maybe a year ago, but I remember I was at work and I was texting my dad right before I got to work. And as soon as I got there, I went to the back and I was washing dishes or something like that. And so I still had my dad on the phone because, I was just washing dishes. Mm-hmm. I didn't need to really focus on anything. But I just remember telling him like all the things that I'm doing and with work and school and all that other stuff and all the things that go into the podcasts and just basically what I'm doing with life.
Yeah.
And I just remember he said that he was proud of me. And that's always been something that, it made me feel good, if that makes sense. But yeah.
It's the best words you can say to your son, I think. Because, yeah. Cool. Let's see. Here we go. All right. So opposite flip side of that question, what's an insult you've received that you're proud of?
I don't really remember insults, but
low IQ.
Yeah, that's I'm not proud of that. So that's the kicker.
No, it's not true. That's what I'm saying. Remember that when you posted that reel about Trump or whatever? I forgot what you said.
Oh yeah,
that was an entertaining
that one. Yeah, that is that's true. So yeah, so what happened was I made this controversial reel on Instagram, and basically this guy was just calling me an idiot, and so I'm proud of that.
There you go.
It's like, well, as long as I'm an idiot and I know what I'm talking about and I know my facts, I'll be an idiot in your eyes, but we all know who the real one is.
Oh goodness. How would your parents describe what you do?
Well, I guess they would say it's, if it's what's, yeah, if it is what the Lord wants, then I guess they're for it. But yeah, I think they are proud of me, and I think they're happy with where I'm at in life, and I think it's good.
It's good. So, what more could you want?
Yeah.
How about this? What is a funny story your family tells about you that you'd like to share? That's better than socks and toilets.
Man, I don't know if I can top that one. Funny story.
Surely with all your Africa, there's got to be something.
I mean, I'm sure there is, but I just don't remember. I'm sure if my mom was here, she would tell you a thousand stories. But let me think. Funny story. Well, I don't know if it's funny. I mean, it wasn't funny then, but it is funny now. But I was always known for misplacing my glasses. And so, like, because I would take them off because I'd go play or whatever. And I went through so many thinking, oh, yeah, that's a good one. I went through so many pairs of glasses. It was stupid. But I remember one particularly. I don't remember what happened, but my glasses broke. And you know, like, the little corner where it holds the actual frame and then the leg or whatever you want to call the arm? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It connects right there. Well, it broke, like, right there. And so my dad... my dad made me take a match and some duct tape, and we just taped it together.
Homeschooled.
It was the stupidest thing that I've ever seen.
I've known some people like that. Like,
rednecked it. Well, because we're in Africa, and you can't just go to Walmart and get new glasses. Right. And it's like, you gotta make it last. So. I mean, as far as the glasses part, man, I've put my glasses in stupid places and broken my glasses 1,000 times. But tape and super glue, that'll do the trick.
A few zip ties. No, just kidding. You're all good. Let's see. What? This will be interesting. What is your favorite holiday movie? Or we could just say holiday. That's easier. What's your favorite holiday?
I'm going to go with the classic and just say Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a child, Christmas was like the best. And then as an adult, you grow up and you're like, man, this is sad.
Why?
I don't know. I just, at least for me anyways, it just feels like it, I don't know, loses
luster.
Yeah, something. But I still like it as a holiday. You get to eat cookies and be fat for a whole month. It's great.
I mean, I will stay silent.
Yeah, but I know your mom would make cookies, homemade cookies. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, especially in Africa, because we wouldn't have chocolate chips or M&Ms or anything like that. So around Christmas time, we'd bring, well, before we go to Africa, we'd bring trunk fulls of just candy and like M&Ms and all that stuff, and we'd put it in the freezer and just freeze it. And so whenever Christmas came around, we'd pull that stuff out and make cookies with them. And so Christmas is definitely up there. And then if I had to pick a second, it'd probably be July 4th.
That's
praise God, America.
No longer in Africa. I mean,
yeah, but that's okay. Yeah, I'd say Christmas is one of my favorite holidays.
Cool. Let's see. Okay, this ought to be interesting. What has been your favorite job you've held?
Oof.
So you've had a lot.
I have had a lot. Honestly, I don't know that there is a favorite. I feel like they're all equally blah.
That's fair. But if you had to pick the least blah one, what would that be?
Well, it would probably be Andy's, you know, the custard place.
Yeah.
Just because you got free, you know, custard at the end of the night. I'm like, okay, I can do that. And you can basically put anything in the world you want in that thing. And it's so heavenly. Nice. But, I mean, if the world was a perfect place and people actually had a work ethic, it wouldn't be awful. But... Mm-hmm. because nobody has a work ethic, it is awful. So
then you end up doing everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah. So on your on the opposite side, then, what's been your least favorite job besides all of them?
Yeah. It's a hard one. It would probably be Burger King, honestly. Oh, well.
High contenders.
So I worked at Burger King and McDonald's. So, I mean, there's both good qualities and bad qualities in both. So, I just say fast food in general stinks. So, yeah, I will just say both of them really stink. Just because the customers that come through are awful. Like, none of them are nice.
Mm-hmm.
They're either old, angry grandpas that yell at you for no reason, or they're all Karens. And it's like, oh, my soul. Just make it stop. But, yeah, I would probably say it's fast food in general.
Yeah, it's exciting. So far, I've never had to try that, but I'm sure it's possible my time will come. I don't know.
I don't ever want to plan on doing that again. I mean, if I have to, I will, but
yeah,
the plan is to stay away from it.
You can get to pick your battles.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about this on the topic of, well, I don't know if it, but it's kind of related-ish. If you could go back and give your 18-year-old self a piece of advice, what would it be? You can have more than one. I had more than one.
Yeah.
Were you 18 the same time I was 18? That was an extra random question, but
I don't think so.
You had a whole extra year of experience on me.
Yeah. 18. I would probably go back and tell myself to have a closer walk with God. There's a whole story behind that, but that was a interesting year. I feel like it's been interesting. You know, obviously my whole life, but without going into all the details, that would be my answer. It's just getting to know God more on a personal level. Know God better and know God more. But you know, we gotta, you know, like we've been saying through this whole podcast and stuff, God knows, you know, exactly what you're going through, and God puts you in specific spots, and you know, he uses those instances to grow you. And I'm glad that I can look back and say, maybe it's not where I should have been back then, but I think I am where I need to be now.
Yeah.
And I thank God for that, because he's merciful and, you know, we don't deserve it. So.
Right. Yeah. For real. How about this? Let's see. Tell me about the three most influential people in your life and how they impacted you. Or are there three?
I don't know if there's three.
Mm-hmm.
But
at least one.
Yeah. I know my older brother has definitely impacted me. There's always been a great connection with me and him, and my younger brother as well. We've all gotten together or gotten along very, very well. And I've always looked up to him. I feel like he's always the guy that does everything perfectly. And it's not annoying, but it's annoying, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, why are you so perfect? And it's like, come on. So I've always looked up to him. And we've always had a great relationship together. He really is a great guy if you ever get to know him. But from definitely personal experience, he's brought me a long way, you know, with being a missionary kid and all that stuff. And I know people don't know that aren't missionaries. They don't know really what missionary kids go through or what missionaries go through themselves. But it's difficult. I'll tell you that. But he, kind of stabled the waters, if you will. Yeah, he just had a very big impact, and he still does. But so I just, yeah, thank the Lord for him a lot, because he's definitely helped me throughout life, for sure.
Yeah.
And he's always been there, you know. It's not like, because, you know, with a missionary kid, you don't really have that many friends. Because either you're moving all the time, or you don't have any time to make friends, or you're just not there. And so I think it's important for missionary kids, especially, you know, to have a good relationship with their family, because that those are the people that are going to get you through the hard things and just point you in the right direction.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Makes sense. Cool. Oh, okay. Here we go. This is kind of transitioning a little bit. It says, if you could have coffee with any historical figure, who would it be? Oh,
man.
The options are limitless.
Yeah. Man, there's so many people that I would love to, because, you know, you have all the founding fathers to pick from and what their plan, their vision was for America. And then you have all the historical people like Paul. Oh my goodness. Honestly, I wouldn't mind going with Paul. Paul fascinates me. And just recently, I've, you know, throughout this year, been looking at Paul's life, and I've been spending a lot of time in his epistles. And it just amazes me how dedicated he is to the Lord. And he really didn't care what happened to him. And it's just, as long as the Lord is glorified and the Lord is, you know, where it's supposed to be, then, you know, he was happy. It's like, we don't have to worry about anything. It's just as long as God's glorified. Right. And, you know, if I could pick his brain, and I don't know, because he's literally, I mean, he's not perfect, obviously, but he actually believed the Christian life. And just going through all the things that he wrote, and it's like, man, he was serious about everything. And so we can read that through the Bible, obviously, but just to be able to talk with him and just to know him and just, you know, pick his brain would be awesome.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it'd be awesome. Sounds like fun. How about this? If you got $10 million, what would you spend it on?
Well, obviously the podcast. Probably
buy ourselves a studio.
Dude, that would be awesome. Buy some land, buy a studio, buy the best technology. Get us where we need to be. I'd probably give a ton of it away to relatives. Probably the Belarus Ranch for sure. And then invest a bunch of it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just give it away and use it the way God would want me to.
Right. Yeah. It's the whole goal of life, to be honest.
Right.
Let's see. If you had to write a book by tomorrow, what would you write it on?
Probably being a missionary kid.
That makes sense.
Just all the crazy things you experience. And because nobody really knows what a missionary goes through unless you're a missionary. But other than that, the world is oblivious. And they think it's a vacation. It's like, dude, come on. It's not a vacation.
It's like, what do I look like to you?
But yeah.
That's why Joe is strong as an ox, because he's a missionary.
That is true.
Maybe that story will come out.
Definitely. Yeah. It definitely builds character. That's for sure.
Yeah. What is your biggest pet peeve?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So my biggest pet peeve, if I see you
waiting for this,
I will probably come over and slap you. Is when people stinking eat with their mouth open and they just sit there and chomp. I'm like, oh, it gets under my skin so much. I cannot stand it. Oh, my soul.
That's hilarious.
It drives me nuts.
That's so funny.
Respectfully, don't do it.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say people who don't understand missionary kids, but yeah.
No.
You can't blame them for that one, I guess.
Yeah.
You can't blame them for the other one, though. That's on you. See, what do you think the world will be like in 5 years? Oh, will it exist in 5 years?
I think it will exist. It just how it will exist. I don't know. There's a lot of things that could go wrong, especially coming up here soon with the, you know, elections. And then there's just a bunch of stuff that could go wrong with that. But, I mean, one way or another, I think we'll still be here. Yeah. It could get very hairy, though. We could have World War III. We could have Civil War. I mean, the options are limitless.
Yeah.
But it really all depends. Yeah, it really all depends, I think, on what's going to happen during this election.
Yeah.
And that will definitely determine it. Because I could see it going into a Civil War or, you know, another World War III. But, you know, we don't know, and we're not supposed to know, so we're just supposed to do what God wants
about
us to do. Amen. That's right.
Yeah. So, what was your favorite thing about Africa? Because obviously you've been there for a while, or you were there for a while.
Yeah. I'd say, I mean, I guess the most favorite thing that I, like, absolutely loved was the fruit.
That's
fair. Oh, my soul. The fruit was amazing. It was actually real. It wasn't all this processed garbage that we get in America. So yeah, that part was really cool. And then I'd say, as far as people go, I do miss the people that we had in our church. But as a whole, I don't necessarily miss the people. So,
yeah, makes sense. I almost asked the same question twice. Oh, here we go. Okay. Can't read my own questions. What was your least favorite thing about Africa?
All right. My least favorite thing. Well, there's a lot of least favorite things, but,
just one.
I'd probably say the heat.
You live, like, in Tennessee. Come on.
No. Doesn't even compare. Not even close. No.
Like winter weather then, eh?
Like oof, always in the 90s probably. And then humidity is like 100% all the time. And so that's what makes it awful.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do remember going up north in the country we were in. And it wasn't as humid, and so it wasn't as hot.
Mm-hmm.
But humidity, that it really kicks the fire out of you.
Yeah. Feels like you're swimming when you walk outside.
Well, I remember when before they even had an airport, I don't even know what you call it, station or airport.
Yeah.
You would just get off the plane and you'd walk down the stairs and then you'd get into this bus and they'd take you to the airport that was over there. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you walk through the airplane doors to get off, you just felt like this massive poof of just, ugh, disgustingness. It was like hot. You could smell the stench. It was just awful.
Yikes.
And you're just like, oh, let me go back.
Like, can I hang on the plane?
The airplane was still, you know, had air conditioning on it. And so it was still, you know, cool. Felt good in there.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you got off, it was like, whack, you're in Africa. And then you know you are. It's like, oh my goodness.
Here we go again. Let's see. Okay. Here's an interesting question. What was the best thing that you learned in Africa? I mean, we could say practically, but I would say spiritually too, because obviously you were there for a while. Yeah. So you kind of grew up there.
Yeah. Practically, I obviously learned a work ethic, because anything over there is not easy. It takes a lot of work to do anything. So as far as that goes, be work ethic. As far as spiritually, there was a lot of religion, and so something that I see through very quickly, because everyone there is very religious, and they think that just because they're religious, they're going to go to heaven, or, you know, because they do all these good things, they're going to go to heaven. And the most religious people, those are going to be the people that are in hell. That's what hell's going to be made up of, mostly, is all the religious people, I believe. But there's a lot of charismatic churches and a lot of people that think that they speak in tongues and all that stuff. And none of it's true, obviously. But yeah, I've learned, I did get a very solid foundation as far as the Bible goes. For instance, I'll just give you what my schedule was. So let's start on Monday. Why not? So on Monday morning, I'd get up and have devotions. That would go for, whatever, a few hours. And then I'd have a Bible class with my dad. And then we'd have school, which obviously included the Bible. And then we'd have night classes Monday, Tuesday. And then Wednesday we'd have church. Thursday we'd have another night class. Friday we'd have a men's Bible class. Then Saturday we would go out and visitation. And then Sunday, obviously, you have church all day, basically. So, yeah, that's basically what the schedule was. Just devotion, school, Bible classes, and then church or whatever. But, you know, we were always doing something, whether that was teaching in public schools, teaching in deaf schools, just having Bible classes, Bible studies with different people. So as far as that goes, yeah, there was a ton of Bible, and I did learn a lot of stuff. And I'm glad that I, have that foundation. Because a lot of people, I was like 12 and I was teaching in public school. Well, maybe not 12, maybe it was like 14, 15, but, teaching in public schools to kids that are basically your age and younger or older, even sometimes. And it's like, who has the opportunity to do that? at least at that age.
Yeah.
And so that was, pretty cool. There's just a lot of different experiences that, I have. On Sunday, this was more recently, but on Sunday mornings, we'd go to the deaf school and we'd teach at the deaf school. And then on Wednesday mornings, the public schools would have almost like a chapel service, if you want to call it that. So we would go into public schools and we'd, teach the public schools for like an hour or whatever. And so, yeah, that was always cool. So, yeah, as far as spiritually, I definitely learned a lot of stuff. But, yeah.
Cool. See, what is something... Well, the way I wrote the question is kind of weird, but maybe you'll get what I'm saying. Like, what is something you would want to tell people about your time in Africa? Like, okay, so...
I think I get what you're saying.
Okay.
I would say that God is definitely going to use it, and he is using it currently. Just the experiences and all the things that he's put me through just being over there. He's definitely, I believe he's going to use it, because God does things for a purpose, and I 100% believe that. And so the experiences that I, have, and the things that I've learned from there, I believe he will use them in some form, shape, or fashion.
Yeah.
As far as how, I have no clue, but the Lord does.
That's what matters.
So, I mean, as far as that goes, I am thankful for the different things that I have learned, but would I do it again? I don't know that I would. You know, if I had the option, of course, but I don't know. Yeah. It's
well, different people are led different directions, you know?
Yeah. It was definitely an interesting time of my life. And I am glad to say that it is over. Yeah. So, I mean, I know that kind of sounds crass and like, oh man, but if you're a missionary and you, you know, you're a missionary kid, you'll understand. Well, which this is actually very interesting, but we had a class here at the college and it was basically a missionary. He came and he taught the class and it was introduction to missions. And literally everything that he was saying was spot on. And like, I'm not even kidding. It was like therapy for me. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm telling you that it was awesome. I really enjoyed that class. So I really think people should learn about missions. At least have a missionary come into your church and just talk about it, you know, just the things that people go through. And it's life and it's hard.
The down and dirty practical part of the
I mean, the only thing that they see is what we show them on Sunday mornings.
Right. You know, that's what I was thinking.
That's the only good things about missions, you know. They don't show you all about all the other stuff you have to go through, and it's not fun, I'll tell you that much. But I definitely would encourage churches to have a missionary and just have like a class, you know, maybe have them for a week or something and just ask them questions, ask them, you know, what it's like, and just get to know what it's like.
Right.
But I mean, for one, that'll give people an understanding of it, and maybe it will give others a burden as well. So it could be twofold, but
yeah,
I mean, as far as that's concerned,
yeah,
that's what I'd say.
Makes sense. What I want to hear about is, because I think this will be interesting, is talking about building the church when you build the church.
Yeah, that's definitely
this whole story. Like, makes context Joe Siegbert for me. Like,
yeah. You know? Well, yeah, I guess we'll just get into it. So basically, it was me, my brother, and two of the national pastors, and then every once in a while, there'd be maybe another guy or two or something like that. But for the majority of the time, it was the four of us. And then my dad was there and he did help out, but, you know, not as much, which completely fine. Totally understand. So the building process. First, we had to buy the land, and that the whole country is corrupt. So it was a big process to, you know, get the land in the first place, but we eventually finally got it. But we started building bricks. That's the first thing that we started doing, and we built, I believe it was 7,000 bricks by hand. We wouldn't have any fancy machines or anything like that, so that's where I got all the muscle from. So we would normally, it was on Friday mornings, we'd wake up at ridiculous hours, like 4 or something like that, and we would get over there, and then we'd just start, I guess, the routine. And I don't know, I guess I can give you the we would get there, and then you get wheelbarrows, right? And they're not these dinky little wheelbarrows, they're like actually big, massive wheelbarrows, and so you fill them up with sand or dirt. It's more sand, and so you get, they're heaping, like overflowing. You can't stack any more on it. They're full. And you have, they weigh like a ridiculous amount. I don't even know how much, but they weigh a lot. And so you're pulling that sucker. You have to push it, and you have to get three of them. So you get three of them, put it in a pile. You go and you get stuff we called quarry dust. It's basically fine gravel. So you take that and you'd get a wheelbarrow of that, and then you'd get I believe it was two bags of cement. They're like 50-pound bags of cement, and you carry them over, chop them open, and then just start mixing. You'd mix it once, and then you would mix it again. But the second time you'd mix it, you would add a little water, Mm-hmm. And then the third time you'd mix it and you would just add all the water that is needed. And so by the third time, that stuff is super heavy, like, because mm-hmm. you added water to it. So that's right, yeah, like solid.
Thick in everything. And so,
Oh, that it was brutal. But so that was the process. And then we would do like week-long weeks of making bricks, and that was brutal too. So, and then I remember coming back home, because we would normally get done by 12-ish. It depended on what day it was, but
yeah,
we'd get done by 12, and then we would have to go to school, me and my brother. And so we'd be so exhausted from one, from just doing all that work, and then just from the sun and being in the heat, mm-hmm. that you're doing work and you're literally just sweating. You're just sitting there, you're mm-hmm. just dripping sweat and just like puddles under you. It's disgusting. And then you just like basically fall asleep because you're so exhausted,
mm-hmm.
and you're just like, you know what? I'm not doing school today. it was awful.
That's crazy. So how many bricks did you build?
We did 7,000. I believe it was 7,000.
Nice.
And that's a lot of stinking bricks. And then we had to move them all several times. And that was, you would get blisters all over your hands. Mm-hmm. Oh, my soul. If you knew me then, I was a man's man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? The definition of a man's man.
Mm-hmm.
Not this fat oaf that I am now, but it's okay. I'm still a man's man, but not as much.
Yeah. Now you're a scholar.
Yeah. Anyways, that's beside the point. Neither here nor there. But and then we finally got the permits and everything to build the building. And so they had to dig the foundation. And let me tell you, you think your clay here is bad? You have no idea. So what they do over there, instead of clearing the land,
mm-hmm.
they make it a landfill, and they just dump all their garbage and build on top of their garbage. And so you have to dig through all the stuff that they buried and mm-hmm. dig it back up. And then, just to get your foundation and stuff. So that was, and the clay, it was ridiculous. There was a bunch of stuff. And then, built, or at least dug the foundation, and then we put the rebarb and we put the cement, and it was a ton of work. But we did hire some people, a lot of people, for that part of the process, because there's no way we could do that by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it took, I think it was about a year or so. I don't really remember exactly. For the building itself, it took about a year, I think. And we finally got it done. And the sad part was, by the time we got it done, it was time for me to leave and come back to college. And I was so sad, because it's like, I've done all this work.
Mm-hmm. You don't even get in your own building. Use
my building. It was so sad. I'm like, are you kidding me? So I think I've had like maybe two or three services in that building. I'm like, oh, so sad.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that they have a building though. It was, it really stank, but it was fun at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I mean, you also got to take in consideration the amount of sun that you're getting, because mm-hmm. we're closer to the equator, and then the humidity levels and just the heat is unbearable. But yet you're working in these conditions, you're like working, actually working. You're mm-hmm. carrying heavy stuff that it's like 50 pound stuff easily. 50 pounds plus. And so you're carrying that above your head, or, you know, just carrying it in general.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was a doozy. I'll tell you that much.
Mm-hmm. And this is why Joe was built like a brick.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. Yeah.
Yeah. I made the bricks and the bricks made me.
Yeah. You know? For real.
There ain't no kidding about that.
Yeah. That's interesting. This is random. We could be done. But, well, it just makes me, speaking of building bricks, kind of reminds me of what we've been talking a lot about recently with the podcast and the show and different things. Is just like, now is the time to establish and build the bricks, the building blocks of what will be.
Yeah. Right. And I definitely see that coming through the works, mm-hmm. you know, with all this
It's taking time, unfortunately.
We've come so far. We really have.
Yeah.
But I can definitely see the progression, and it's good. Yeah. It's definitely needed. So, yeah.
Yep. I mean, well, any parting thoughts you want to leave with? Here's, okay. This will be our last thing. It'll be a good way to end. So, for the people who are listening, what is the one thing that you want them to take away?
So the one thing that I would want you to take away is serving the Lord is going to be difficult. I can testify 100%. It's going to be difficult, and you're not always going to be happy, and you may not like the people that you're with, mm-hmm. or, you know, the things that you have to do, but God will give you the grace. I 100% believe that. Mm-hmm. God will give you what you need. And we see that clearly through what the Bible teaches. God does provide all these things that we need in order to serve him. But I think that the biggest part is being faithful to God. Because I remember being a missionary in Ghana, and I can't tell you how many missionaries we've seen come and go throughout the years. Mm-hmm. And nobody has been faithful enough to stay. And what does that do for Christians, you know, that are trying to make a difference in the world? Well, for one, it shows people that you're not committed to what you're doing in the first place. Mm-hmm. And then for two, what are you telling the locals that are there? To just give up on God? To just, because it's too hard, because you don't like what you're doing? Mm-hmm. And it gives your reputation a bad reputation. And all the other people that are going to that country, you know, to witness to them, to make a difference for God. It gives them a bad name because you can't stick it out for God because you're a wimp and, you know,
yeah,
you want to do what you want to do. You want to appease your flesh rather than rely on God's grace to get you through it. And so that is the biggest thing I believe in, you know, serving God. It's definitely going to be difficult, mm-hmm. but God makes a way.
Right.
And, you know, that's definitely one thing that I've learned. It's definitely not fun, but God knows exactly what he's doing, and he will use the experiences and the things that he has taught you. And he's putting you in that position to grow you. And I think that's why a lot of people, other missionaries, have quit. It's because it's too hard for them, and mm-hmm. they're not committed enough to God to just mm-hmm. trust him.
Yeah, and so, Yeah.
And that's one thing that I've seen in my dad, and I'm thankful for, is that he, you know, and there's another thing. Nobody's over there to watch you and to make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. It's all on you. You have to motivate yourself. You have to, you know, get the people, go out and evangelize. You have to do all of the work. And it's hard. People are not going to like you. People are going to make fun of you. People are going to do things to you. And it's not going to be fun. But you have to do it. And nobody's sitting there telling you, hey, you need to do this. It's all God putting a burden on your heart and you fulfilling that burden.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a man truly is. If he can go through the hard things that God puts him through and he comes out refined. You know, I think of what David says in the Psalms. God tries us and he purifies mm-hmm. us as silver.
Yeah.
And he boils us down to the dross. He gets all that garbage off. He scoops it all off and he refines us. Mm-hmm. And that's what God wants to do with our lives.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we give up too soon rather than just simply trusting God and simply giving yourself to God. We just give up and we're like, no, God, this is just too hard. I don't want to do it. And you quit. And God can't use you because of that. Mm-hmm. Your impact that you would have had is no longer there. And you hurt the others that are around you.
Yeah.
And so be faithful to God and he will be faithful to you. Mm-hmm. So I really do believe that 100%. And I do thank God for the opportunity that I have to serve him, because God will use it, I believe. And so, yeah, I hope it's an encouragement to you, because I think it is to me.
Yeah. So. That's good. The only thing last thing, and this is just this is practicality, is we are working on transitioning the podcast from audio to YouTube specifically only. So I will put a link in the description. You can go check out the videos. And within the next couple of episodes, we will be YouTube only. So be sure to go check us out over there. Same channel, Young America. We'll see you there.